All generations shall call me blessed, because he that is mighty hath done great things for me. But wondrous words have come forth from the lips of the Immaculate Mother of our Lord Jesus Christ, as she carries Jesus to her cousins, Elizabeth, and her husband, Zechariah, and their little baby, who will be the precursor of the Lord, St. John the Baptist. Wondrous words of the Magnificat, which the Church prays every evening in the Divine Office in the holy hour of Vespers. My soul doth magnify the Lord, and my spirit rejoiceth in God my Savior. And of course, there are so many things, not only in the sacred liturgy that is given to us today, from the introit to the first reading from the book of Judith, who was a precursor of the Blessed Mother in the Old Testament, who saved her people, the Hebrews, the nation of Israel, from Holofernes by cutting off his head, just as the Blessed Mother has predicted to her by God. In Genesis 3:15, stumps on the head of the serpent, Satan. I will put enmity between thee and the woman, between thy seed and her seed, said God to Satan. And indeed it has been. And then, of course, the introit from the book of the Apocalypse. A great sign appeared in heaven. Signum magnum. What wonderful, wondrous words. A woman clothed with the sun, and the moon under her feet, and on her head a crown of 12 stars. The very image of the Immaculate Conception, the very image of the miraculous image of Our Lady of Guadalupe, which converted the New World in 1531. In just a couple of years, several million of the natives of the New World were converted by this wondrous sign from God. The Tilma of St. John, San Juan Diego, most blessed, which still brings scientists and the learned to their feet, to their knees, I mean, and then back to their feet as they come to examine her beauty. Today, as His Holiness, Venerable Pius XII, proclaimed in the papal bull, Munificentissimus Deus, that which for many, many ages was believed by the whole Church, since the very beginning. And for years, the fathers have been asking the popes to proclaim the dogma, including also great kings and queens, like St. Louis of France, Venerable Isabella of Spain, and many others, by many of the fathers of the Church and the doctors of the Church. Finally, he says, under the guidance of the Holy Spirit, we proclaim and define the dogma that the Blessed Mother, Mary, was taken up to heaven, body and soul, by the power of God. Of course, St. Paul tells us, he whom the Lord loves, he justifies. He whom he justifies, he glorifies. So the Blessed Mother is justified in her Immaculate Conception when he did not allow the smallest speck of sin to touch her soul. And after her sinless life on earth, her life filled with the Holy Spirit, soon after her dormition was taken up to heaven, where she is crowned Queen of the Universe. And how could it be different? How can a just judge condemn one who has no sin? How could a just judge permit his son to be in the womb of one who was in the power of Satan. And of very great importance today, for some of us, more than others, but for all of us, how can the Lord God permit that the mother of our Lord, who gives us himself as our heavenly food in the most holy sacrament of the Eucharist, how can that body come from one which is tainted with sin? That is not the way of God. So Mary was prepared from the beginning of time. And at the proper time, she was conceived. And conceived without sin. And then at the proper time again, when she was about 13 or 14 years old, the archangels and Gabriel comes to her and tells her, Ave Maria, gratia plena, Dominus tecum. Hail, O Mary, full of grace. Grace, which is the life of God. Grace, which precludes sin. How can Mary be full of grace if she has sin in her soul? Blessed art thou among women, and blessed is the fruit of thy womb. And so Elizabeth resounds these words. Blessed art thou. How is it that the mother of my God should come to me? Blessed art thou that hast believed, because those things shall be accomplished that were spoken to thee by the Lord. And then Mary proclaims a Magnificat. She brings grace to the house of Elizabeth and Zachary and to the precursor of the Lord, the last prophet of the Old Testament, the first prophet of the New. A new economy of grace, of salvation, starts with her immaculate conception. And in her assumption, body and soul into heaven, we see the fulfillment of the words of God to her who has believed all that God has proclaimed to her. And so today, as we celebrate this feast, as we have two among us who, having received the new life of grace and baptism, will today receive the Holy Eucharist for the very first time in their lives. Saturday was a great day for you, David and Rachel. Today is even greater. Today, God Almighty will come to dwell in your hearts physically, not just spiritually, but physically. Blessed are you that hast believed in the Word of God that he has given to us. The Word of God that he has given to us through his holy and immaculate mother, Mary. The Word of God that he gives to us in the most holy sacrament of the altar, the most holy sacrament of the Eucharist. Hail, O day, that we receive him. May you and all who are here receive him as often as you can, with as much love in your heart as you can, all the days of your life. And of course, also, there is no rose on earth without a thorn. Also, as we celebrate this glorious day and this very happy day for the Goodman family, we also have the sadness of bidding farewell, not goodbye, to our beloved son, Brother Jake, who will continue the will of God, doing what God has destined him to be a priest of God, to proclaim the goodness of God, to with Mary magnify the Lord all the days of his life. So as we bid him farewell, he takes a part of our heart with him, Now our heart will have a hole, another hole. But in the meantime, we ask the Holy Spirit, the Holy Ghost who fills us with himself, to fill the holes, to bend our hearts, and to inflame us and him and all the other vocations of this holy shrine with himself, with his life, with the fire of divine love, that love which never goes out, that love which never ends. We give thanks to God on this day, even though there are thorns in the roses that make us bleed. But we offer that blood to Mary to give to Jesus for the vocations of this shrine, and that there will be many more vocations to this shrine. And we give thanks to God that unless something happens to me beforehand, on Sunday, September the 17th, I will confer the Holy Sacrament of Confirmation on all those who are ready, with whom I have been working, that they will receive the fullness of the Holy Ghost and live the life of the Spirit in this earth. As we celebrate these days, let us give thanks to God for all his blessings. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit, Amen.